Shalom, and welcome to Yeshua's Passover service. I'm putting this service together for those who may be on their own or not be able to make it to a Passover service, to give you a little better outline and guide for doing so. So we will start in prayer, and then I will talk a little bit about the service itself, and then we'll get into the service. What I'll do is I'll stop at certain points for reading, and you could just pause the audio, and then I'll let you do some of the longer readings on your own, and then you can come back to the audio. So let's start. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your blessed throne on this beautiful day of life. And Father, we just thank you for those who will be partaking of your Passover during this service. We thank you, Father, for your love for us. And Father, even though it's so hard for us to even understand your great mercy and your kindness, we thank you that you've called us out of the world, that you've given us a down payment of your Spirit, and that you're blessing us with that Spirit to become like you, Father, and to prepare for your kingdom, which is so close. We pray, Father, that we can move ahead during this Passover time into living in that kingdom mentality and to be leaving the world of Satan behind. And Father, we just thank you so much for that great sacrifice that you made. We thank Yeshua for willingly coming as the Lamb of Yah and to die for our sins. So, Father, we commence this time into your hands, and we give you all praise and glory. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah. Tonight, the Passover, it is the most serious night of the year. It's so serious that, again, the ones who have been baptized properly in the name of Yeshua, had hands laid on by an ordained elder, this is the renewing of your covenant. So if you never were baptized properly, if you never had the laying on the hands of an elder, you wouldn't be renewing a covenant that you never entered. I say it's like a marriage. It's like inviting somebody to a anniversary for your marriage, but yet you never were married before. So it's the same thing here. So again, if there is somebody who's listening to this and you haven't been properly baptized, then you shouldn't be partaking of the symbols of renewing that baptismal vow. And I say, when we go out and we witness of Yeshua all year long, in 364 days a year, we witness of a living Messiah, a Messiah who teaches us, who loves us, who did so much for us. And that's what we're telling people. We're not telling people believe in a dead Messiah. We're teaching the living Messiah, and the way they see him, they're supposed to see him living in us. They're supposed to be seeing the change in our life, and by the change in our life, they're looking and saying, wow, I want to be like that. I want this change in my life also. But one day a year, as the 13th of Aviv ends and the beginning of the 14th of the first month of the biblical calendar, Aviv starts, we remember the dying Messiah. We remember the suffering Messiah. We remember the great sacrifice that Yeshua went through, the humility that he had, the beating, the suffering, and everything that he did because he loves us and because he took our place on that tree of crucifixion. And like I said, you know, this is the one day of a year that when you're going to the ceremony, you're going to a funeral. And really, it's not really Yeshua's funeral you're going to every year. It's your own funeral. Because we were the ones who sinned. Yeshua didn't sin. We were the ones who violated the law of Yahweh, which brings a penalty of death. And there we were in our cell, sitting there 5 minutes to midnight, getting ready to be executed, and Yeshua came in our place. He not only exonerated us from the death penalty, because that wouldn't be justice, but he literally went on that tree of crucifixion, like it says in Colossians 3, and he died for us. He took that penalty for us. So this is what the service is about. And in Scripture, in the days of Yeshua, they did use four cups. We'll see that as we read some of the Scriptures here. The first cup was called the cup of blessing. So if you have your cup there, if you're by yourself, you just need a tiny little bit of a sip of it. If you're with other people, then you could each take a little sip of the same cup. But we will start first with this cup of blessing, and we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bless you, we glorify you, we praise you, and we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the love you have. We thank you for your endless mercy, Father, that we can't even understand. And we thank you, Father, that through 6,000 years of horror and suffering and sin every second of every day, that you still have the mercy and you still have the patience, Father, that you allow your plan to continue so that we in this end time could also come to faith, that we could come to be children of yours, and Father, that we could become part of your kingdom. So, Father, we just thank you for the blessing of this, and we thank you for this first cup that we have. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. So you can now, you can drink, take that sip of that first cup. The next thing that would happen is after that would happen, as people were coming from a long journey, they would, the custom was in the biblical days that before eating the meal, you would take the water and you would pour it on your hands and you would wash your hands. And as the apostles were getting up to do so, Yeshua did something very, very different though, of instead of washing the hands, he got on his hands and knees and started washing their feet. And when you think about it, the feet are the dirtiest part of the body. There's no paved roads in those days. You're walking and you're just very, very dirty. And here is the master and here is the king and here is our savior. And yet he's humbling himself to get on the hands and knees with a towel and wash. So let's start in John 13. We'll read this. And before the feast of the Passover, Yeshua, knowing that his hour had come, that he would move from the world to the Father, loving his own in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper having occurred, this is right at the beginning, right before the supper, the devil having put already into the heart of Simon's son, Judas Iscariot, that he should betray him. Yeshua, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he came out from Elohim, and he goes away to Elohim. He rose up from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he put water into the basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, and to wipe off with the towel with which he was girded. He then came to Simon Peter, and that one said to him, Master, do you wash my feet? Yeshua answered and said to him, The thing that I do you do not understand now, but afterwards you will know. Peter said to him, You may never wash my feet for me. Yeshua answered, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Master, not only my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Yeshua said to him, The one having been immersed has no need other than to wash the feet, for all of him is clean, and you are clean, but not all. So here it is, the foot washing beside a sign of humility that any one of us in the body of Messiah would be humble enough to get on our hands and knees and wash the feet of any other member. During Pesach, normally, we have men wash men's feet and women wash women's feet just for modesty's sake, unless, of course, there's a husband and a wife together that perfectly fine to wash each other's feet. But we see that beside the humility part, that since it's a renewal of your baptism vow, every year we don't have to be rebaptized, like he said, because we're already clean. So you don't have to be totally immersed in water. But we do have spots and wrinkles in our life that we haven't gotten out yet. So the foot washing is also symbolic of those spots and wrinkles that we're getting out for our wedding garments, preparing for the great wedding supper when Yeshua returns. Then in verse 12, he says, "Then when he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, reclining again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I've done for you? You call me the teacher and the master, and you say, well, for I am. If then I washed your feet, the master and the teacher, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I gave you an example that as I did to you, you should also do.'" So this is a command. It's not just a suggestion. "Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one sending him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I've chosen out, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, 'The one eating the bread with me lifted up his heel against me.' From now on, I will say to you a thing before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe that I am. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who receives whomever I may send receives me, and the one who receives me receives the one who sent me." So we'll take this time. If there's more than one of you there, if you want to do the foot washing at this time, if you're by yourself and you symbolically want to wash your own feet and just think of those little spots and wrinkles that you need to get out, you can do that also. So you can put the audio here on pause, and you can do the foot washing. Alrighty, praise Yahweh. Always a blessing. It's exciting every year for the foot washing. Like I said, I've been doing this 30-something years, and I think of all the people's feet that I was blessed to wash in the congregation, and what a blessing it was to be able to partake in that symbolic act of symbolism that Yeshua gave us to show our humility and to show that we're continuously working on taking those spots and wrinkles away. If we continue in verse 21 now, it says, "Saying these things, Yeshua was troubled in spirit and testified and said, 'Indeed, I tell you truly that one of you will betray me.' Then the disciples looked upon one another, doubting of whom he spoke. But there was one of his disciples reclining at the bosom of Yeshua, whom Yeshua loved." Talking about John. "Then Simon Peter nods to him to ask whom it might be of whom he spoke. And leaning on the breast of Yeshua, he said to him, 'Master, who is it?' Yeshua answered, 'It is he to whom I, having dipped and give the bread to.' And dipping the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon." So this bread is called the bread of it's the bitter herbs, which he's dipping here. He's dipping the bitter herbs. It goes back to Exodus 12 in verse 8. We go back to Exodus 12, verse 8. It says, "And they shall eat it," the Passover, "in this night," the 14th of Aviv, not the 15th. So it should be past sunset when you start this ceremony. So hopefully you started it correctly. After sunset on the 13th and the beginning of the 14th. "Roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs." So the bitter herbs show the bitterness of bondage that is there in Egypt, you know, when they were slaves, and also the bitterness and the bondage of our life as we were slaves to sin. And depending on where you may live in the world, you know, you may be able to see this easier or not, but it doesn't matter whether you live in a first world country or a third world country. The bottom line is, every single human being that's ever been born is a slave of sin. So it's, and sin brings bondage. So these bitter herbs, as you just have to dip it, you can, you know, if you just have the herb, you can eat it. What we usually do is we dip it in maybe a little sweet honey or something to show that even though the bitterness of our life before, once we come to Messiah, it is mixed with that sweetness. And you just have to dip a little bit and eat it. You can do that right now. And as you're doing that, I'll continue to read here in Exodus 12, verse 14 through 26. Exodus 12, verse 14, "In the day of Passover, will be a memorial for you. You shall celebrate it as a feast to Yahweh for your generations. You shall celebrate it as a law forever. You shall eat unleavened things." The word bread is implied, but not there in the original. "You shall eat unleavened things 7 days. Indeed, on the first day, you shall cause leaven to cease from your houses. For anyone eating any leaven, that soul will be cut off from Israel from the first day until the seventh day." So now, again, this is the beginning of the 14th that you're doing the ceremony on. Tomorrow is the daylight portion of the 14th. You should have all the leaven removed out of your house tomorrow. Or if you're in a situation where you're living with unconverted relatives or whatever, you need to at least put all the leaven in one spot, or maybe just your bedroom, get all the leaven out. But you have to, wherever you're responsible for, wherever your living quarter is or you're responsible under, you do need to move that leaven before sunset tomorrow, you know, and the days of unleavened bread will begin. And some people think you have to eat unleavened bread every day for the 7 days. It doesn't say that. It's saying you shall eat unleavened things, that you can't eat anything leavened. But it's not a command that you have to eat matzah every day or whatever. It's just saying for the next 7 days, starting tomorrow at sunset, on the night to be observed, you are to eat unleavened things 7 days. "On the first day shall be a holy assembly, and in the seventh day a holy assembly shall be to you. Not any work may be done on them, only what must be eaten by each soul, that alone may be done by you." So you are allowed on these two set-apart days. They're not actually called Sabbaths here, but they are set-apart days. No work is to be done except what you're preparing for yourself to eat that can be done. We will be having services on Yom Shishi this Friday, on the first holy day. And we also have a service on Shabbat, and then we'll also have a service on the Feast of First Fruits, and we'll also have a service on the last holy day. We'll put them all online. That if you want to join us with that, it would be great to have some important messages that I'll be giving during this Pesach season. "And you shall observe the unleavened, for on this very day I brought out your armies from the land of Egypt. And you shall observe this day for your generations, a statute forever." So you see, this cannot be the day that unleavened bread starts, cannot be the night of the Passover, because he didn't bring them out the night of the Passover. On the night of the Passover, they were commanded to stay in their houses till Boker, till the morning. And the daylight portion of the Passover was when they were getting all their things together. And then they left the following evening. It took the whole daylight portion of Passover to get more than 2 million people together. They lived 7 miles from the capital where they were in Goshen. So that took the whole daylight portion. And then the next night, the beginning of the 15th, the beginning of the holy day, is when they left Egypt. And that's what we call the night to be observed, where we have a fellowship meal. And it's a night of celebration. But tonight is not a night of celebration. Tonight is the night we're remembering the great sacrifice that Yeshua did for us. Verse 18, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening." So again, where we saw the 14th day before, where it said between the evenings, ben erabim, that's the beginning of the 14th. Here it's saying at the end of the 14th, at evening, at erab, the beginning of the 15th is starting unleavened bread. So again, in the English, it could be a little confusing, but in the Hebrew, it's not. Before the beginning of the chapter, we're talking the beginning of the 14th. Now we're in the end of the 14th. "For 7 days, no leaven will be found in your houses. For anyone eating any leaven, that soul will be cut off from the congregation of Israel among the foreigners and among the natives of the land. You shall not eat anything leaven. You shall eat unleavened things or unleavened bread in all your dwellings. And Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take of the flock for you and your families and kill the Passover. And take a bunch of hyssop and dip in the blood of the basin and touch some of the blood in the basin to the lintel and to the two doorposts. And you shall not go out any one from the door of his house until morning. And Yahweh passed through to strike Egypt, and he will see the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, and Yahweh will pass over the door. And he will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. And you shall observe this word for an ordinance for you and for your sons forever. And it shall be when you come into the land which Yahweh has given to you, and he has spoken, you shall observe this service. And it shall be when your sons say to you, what is this service to you? Then you shall say, a sacrifice of a Passover of Yahweh who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he struck Egypt. And he delivered our houses, and the people bowed and worshipped. So this is what we see here. This is what Passover is about. And the same way there, that the blood was put on the doorposts of the home, today the blood is put on the doorposts of our heart. It's not the blood of a lamb, but it's the blood of the Lamb of Yahweh, which is there. So in the Old Covenant, we know they were doing a full Seder and a full meal at this time. That's when the second cup would be taken, which we don't take because we're not doing the meal. Why don't we do a full meal at this time? If you go to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20, some of the brethren were drinking a lot. They were getting too festive. So Paul said that's not the reason we're doing this. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20, he says, then you coming together, you do not eat and drink as is appropriate on the day of our Master, his Passover. For each one takes his own supper first in the eating, and one is hungry and another is drunken. For do you not have houses to which you eat and drink? Or do you not respect the congregation of Yahweh and shame those who have nothing? What do I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? I do not praise you. And then verse 34, he says, but if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, that you may not come together for condemnation, and the other things I will set in order when I come. So this is not a night for celebration. It's not a night for big meals. It's not a night for all those things. Hopefully you ate something before this service started, that you're not hungry as we're going through this. But this is really, it's the most serious night of the year. It's the night that hopefully even before you turned on this message and started listening, you were reading the good news and Matthew 26 through 28 and Mark 14 through 16 and Luke 22 through 24 and John, we'll read it here tonight, but even John 19, 20 and 21, so that you're really understanding the great sacrifice that Yeshua went through. So tomorrow night, if you're blessed, if you're going to meet with anybody and have the festive meal, the night to be observed, but tonight is a night of just reflection, humility to think of how much Yahweh loves us and what a great sacrifice that Yeshua did to give his life for our life. Like it says, no greater love than does someone have than this, to give his life for his friend. And that Yeshua, at the end, did not call his disciples servants anymore, but he said, I call you friends. And that literally, the death penalty that we had hanging over us, he took away, and he did it for us, so that we can be in that kingdom, we could reign with him, we could serve with him forever. So now is the time in the service, where it's called the Great Hallel, that they would read at Passover time. It's Psalm 111 to 118. And you could pause this tape and you could read Psalm 111 to 115. 111, 12, 13, 14, and 15 can be read now. And then afterwards you can turn the tape on and we'll continue. Okay, let's go now to John 6. John the 6th chapter in verse 26. Because now, something very interesting, like I said, we're not taking the lamb. There's nothing in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, that talks about a lamb during Passover in the New Covenant, because Yeshua is the lamb. There's still a lamb is killed, but we know in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, that it says that his sacrifice is in perpetuity. It's an ongoing sacrifice. And there was only one lamb per family that was set apart. So that lamb every year is the continued sacrifice of the Son of Yahweh, Yeshua. So John 6 and verse 26, we'll start reading here, because Yeshua is going to institute the symbols of the unleavened bread for his beaten body and the fruit of the vine, the sip of wine for his shed blood. So John 6 and verse 26, Yeshua answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were satisfied. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for Yahweh the Father sealed this one." Then they said to him, "What may we do that we may work the works of Elohim?" Yeshua answered and said to them, "This is the work of Elohim, that you believe into him whom that one sent." Then they said to him, "What miraculous sign do you do that we may see and may believe? What do you work?" It's amazing to think they'd be saying this at this point with all the miracles he did. But it shows you how blind that somebody can be if they don't have eyes to see. "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Then Yeshua said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, Moses is not giving you the bread out of heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of heaven. For his bread, that is that of Elohim, is he who has come down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Master, always give us this bread." Yeshua said to them, "I am the bread of life. The one coming to me will not at all hunger, and the one believing into me will not thirst, never. But I said to you that you also have seen me and did not believe. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and the one coming to me I will in no way cast out. For I have come down out of heaven, not that I should do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father sending me, that of all that he has given to me, I will not lose any from it, but shall raise him up in the last day," the resurrection, our great hope. "And this is the will of the one sending me, that everyone seeing the Son and believing into him should have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Then the Jews murmured about him because he said, "I am the bread coming down out of heaven." And they said, "Is this not Yeshua, the son of Joseph, of whom we know the father and the mother? How does this one say, 'I have come down out of heaven'?" Then Yeshua answered and said to them, "Do not murmur with one another. No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So we didn't choose him. He chose us. How great, right? How great that he, in his mercy and his love for us, that he's chosen us in our sinful state while we were yet sinners. And yet he saw something in each of us that was redeemable. And out of his love for us, he decided to take that penalty for us. "For it is written in the prophets that all of them will be taught of Elohim. Everyone who hears, therefore, and learns from the Father comes to me. It is not that man can see the Father. Rather, he who is from Elohim is he who sees the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one believing into me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and died. This is the bread coming down out of heaven, that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And indeed, the bread which I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Then the Jews argued with one another, saying, "How can this one give us his flesh to eat?" Then Yeshua said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourself. The one partaking of my flesh and drinking of my blood has everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my body is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. He who eats my body and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Even as the living Father sent me, and I live through the Father, also the one partaking me, even that one will live through me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and died. The one partaking of this bread will live forever." So this is what it's about, because this bread is, like I said, if you've been baptized in the name of Yeshua, if you had hands laid on by an elder and you're in covenant relationship, by taking this bread right now, you are renewing that covenant. You're renewing that covenant of your repentance of any sins that could be there, and your faith in believing that Yeshua is the Son of Yahweh, that only through his shed blood can your sins be forgiven and the penalty be paid and you have eternal life. So you can pause the audio here now and you can pray. I'm going to let you pray over the bread and the wine, since I'm not doing it actually with you here, because I'm doing Passover with the brethren in Jerusalem. But I'm doing this outline for you so that you can, I am doing it with you, but since I am not actually taking the bread at this time, I will let you do those prayers and just thank Yahweh for sending his son. Tell him how much you appreciate, tell Yeshua how much you appreciate his sacrifice, and just pray over that bread and let him know you believe with all your heart that the symbolism, it's still bread, but the symbolism of what that represents is your faith in his beaten body for the penalty of the sins. Okay, we're back. Matthew 26:26. And as they ate, taking the bread and blessing it, Yeshua broke and gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So he just prayed over that. And then 27 and 28, and taking the cup, this would have been the third cup, in giving thanks, he gave to them, saying, "Drink all of it, for this represents my blood of the new covenant, which concerning many is being poured out for the remission of sins." Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. So we see that the fruit of the vine, the little bit of wine that you're going to drink now, that little sip, is represented of his shed blood, and the new covenant, like he says, the new covenant, 31, Jeremiah, verse 31. "Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will cut a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I cut with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant of mine they broke, although I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant I will cut with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yahweh. I will put my Torah in their inward parts, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall no longer each man teach his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, 'Know Yahweh.' For they shall all know me, from the least of them even to the greatest of them, declares Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." So it is only by his shed blood. There is no, remember Leviticus 17:11, there's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And it is only by that shed blood that our sins are forgiven. So again, you can pause the message again. You can pray over that cup before taking it, and be praying to Yahweh and Yeshua and thanking them for the great sacrifice that they made. So you could pause it now and you could take the cup. Okay, let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Let your grace be to me, O Elohim, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me completely from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done evil in your eyes, that you might be justified in your speaking and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the inward parts you teach me wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And that's the hyssop that they gave Yeshua when he was being crucified on the tree. "Cause me to hear joy and gladness. The bones you have crushed will rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me out from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, Yeshua, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of shedding blood, O Elohim of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness, O Yahweh. Open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O Elohim, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. So that's what we see here. Yahweh doesn't delight in burnt offerings, but the sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O Elohim, you will not despise. It's the humility to know how great He is and how little we are, and humility to understand how far we are from His righteousness, but the desire to want to be there. And that's what His grace is all about. His grace is His mercy where we fail. And even though we're trying our hardest, knowing how little we come up with, and I say even if we gave 100% of ourselves, it's not even 1% to Yahweh. And that's why if we can't even give that 100%, knowing how little it is for what He did to us, shame on us. So that's what this taking the symbols, what they mean. The fourth cup is empty, because it is the cup of salvation that only Yeshua could take. So you can read now Psalm 116 to 118. Psalm 116 to 118. We will pause the tape again, pause the message here again. And you can read that now, and then we'll go to Matthew after that. Okay. Let's go now to Matthew 20 and verse 20. Matthew 20 and verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came near to him along with her sons, and she and her sons worshipped him, was asking him something. And he said to her, "What do you desire?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your kingdom." But answering, Yeshua said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup which I am about to drink, and to be baptized with the baptism which I am about to be baptized with, the baptism of fire?" They said to him, "We are able." So here it is, the cup of salvation, the cup of martyrism, the cup that only Yeshua, because only He qualified. You know, it talks about in Ezekiel 14, if Noah, Job, and Daniel stood before me, they would only save themselves with their righteousness. You can't save the life of someone else. You can't save the life of your husband or your wife or your child or your friend. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. So only Yeshua, because He is the creator of everyone, is His life equal and worth more than all of His creation put together. And can He qualify for that? Because He is eternal. He's always been there. He's the eternal co-creator with Yahweh of the universe. So we think about that now. And then you could pause the message one more time. And you will read now John 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. If you want, you could also read 19. But at least John 14 through 18, you should read now, and we'll pause and then come right back. Okay, and the last scripture here is Matthew 26 and verse 30. It says, "In offering praise, they went to the Mount of Olives." So, at the end of the service here, what we always do is we always sing a song. I will leave it to you. Once you turn off this message, that you can sing or play any song you'd like to. A lot of times we'll do Lamb of Yah or whatever. Whatever one is touching your heart right now that you would like to remember Yeshua's Passover by, you can do that. But we always give praise to Yahweh as they did at the end of every Passover. I feel blessed with having this opportunity. I know many brethren around the world are by themselves for Passover. So I feel blessed for this opportunity that I was able to make this audio message for you, and in one way or another be there with you during this special Passover time, and to be able to bless you with it. And just in closing, just to say, because this is such a serious time, and like I said, I'm 30-something years doing this, and in the flesh, when people do something over and over and over, usually it gets to be the point of mundane, or it gets to be the point of, oh yeah, I know this. So again, with Yahweh Spirit, it's never like that. Every year, you understand it more than the year before. Every year, it's a deeper experience. And I can tell you something, that this Passover and the examining of myself and the doing it has been greater than any of the Passovers I had before it, because Yahweh Spirit, I believe, is working more now in me than it ever has in the past, because we need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Master Yeshua Messiah, and we need to become perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. And that means that every year you should be having a little more of the Holy Spirit than you had the year before. So I pray that having this audio was a blessing to you, and that you can really understand more of Yeshua's sacrifice that he made. And may Yahweh bless you, Chag Sameach, and happy Passover.